Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
There is a way which seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You may be seated. I want to preach to you today on the subject, the ultimate alternative lifestyle. We hear a lot of talk today about alternative lifestyles, and sometimes people think that when you talk about alternative lifestyles, you're talking about a homosexual lifestyle. Well, that's just one. There are so many alternative lifestyles. Being a person that likes real estate and country and whatever, I'm fascinated by people that live off the grid. You know what that means? There are people that are in this country, they find remote parts of this country and they live off the grid. That means they don't have electricity, they don't have a telephone, they don't have anything that we all think that we have to have. They're totally self-sufficient. I've got a neighbor where my place is, and he's living off the grid. He's a wonderful man. He's a Catholic. And every morning, 7 days a week at 5 o'clock, his truck goes by my house. He's headed to the Catholic Church. He spends 1 hour a day, every day, in prayer. But he lives off the grid to a degree. He's a businessman. But he's got his place set right next to me. He keeps trying to get me to do it. He's got his own water. He's got his own electricity. No matter what happens, he can be sufficient right there where he is. And he keeps telling Steve, let me help you. I'll get you a water tank, and I'll get you this, I'll get you that. He wants me to become, but I'm not really making a lot of preparations in this world because my trust is in the Lord, and I really believe that I'm going to be with the Lord. But I do like to watch those people that live off the grid. Now, I don't want to do that myself. I like to go to Papa Do's. You live off the grid, you don't get to go to Papa Do's. You don't get to go to Alamo Cafe. So you don't get to go to the mall. A lot of things when you live off the grid. And so I'm not off the grid. I'm well into the grid, folks. But that's an alternative lifestyle. And there are dozens of alternative lifestyles that people are engaging in. And why are they doing that? They're disillusioned with the present world. In many cases, they're afraid. They live in total fear all the time. If my hope was in Christ only, Paul wrote, he said, I would be of all men most miserable. But he said, my hope is not only in Christ in the world to come. My hope is in Christ now, both worlds. And he talked about that several times. He said, if I die, it's gain for me. But he said, if I stay, it's gain for you. Either way. He was prepared for either situation. And that's the way I think that we should live. But the reason why people are choosing lifestyles, you know, there are a lot of people that live a homosexual life today that really don't have a propensity for that. I know there are people that are drawn to that just by their nature. And there's a big controversy. People say, oh, you're not born like that. Oh, yes, you are. I know lots of people that were born that have a homosexual tendency. But today, that's not necessarily so, because homosexuality has become a tremendously popular lifestyle. And so people are involved in that are not really homosexual. They're just doing it because it's a trend. It's a lifestyle. Why would someone do that? It's because they are not satisfied where they are. And a lot of that is the church. Because the church's number one role in the world is to offer people an alternative lifestyle. Different from the world that we live in. We must offer, as a church, a more drastic lifestyle. Not similar to the world, but drastically different. And that's the problem with the church. There's not a lot of difference between the church and the world. Did you know that the divorce rate in the church is exactly the same as in the world? There's just not a lot of difference. Somebody said the church has become too worldly and the world has become too churchy. There is no line, no real difference. It's so similar. Modern Christianity that is preached every day in the pulpits of America will suggest to people, by the millions around America today, pulpiteers are going to suggest to people that they change lanes. Changing lanes is not enough, folks. We need to change highways. It's totally different. The church must become more drastic for this end time than we've ever been before. We need to command that they change lifestyles, that they change highways. Did you know in the book of Acts, one of the most common words is, and they commanded them. They commanded them. We don't do that anymore. We think the Ten Commandments are 10 suggestions. And so we preachers now suggest to people a different lifestyle. In the book of Acts, they did not suggest, they commanded. They commanded them to be delivered. They commanded them to be healed. They commanded them to be baptized. They commanded them to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. It was a drastically different word. The word commanded is used 26 times in the book of Acts, more than any other book in the Bible. Christianity fails not from exorbitance, not because we're too much, but because we are too little. We suffer not because we're exorbitant, but we suffer from conformity. But the Bible said for us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Ladies and gentlemen, when you really get saved, you are a transformed individual. The Bible said that you are now a new species, a different person, totally. You can't be saved and stay like you were. There is a transformation that takes place. Jesus talked about it, and he said, I would that you were hot or cold, because you're lukewarm. I spit you out of my mouth. The church today is a lukewarm church. We're still a Christian nation. Most people in America still claim to be Christian, but you can't tell it. They've got to tell you. Pastor Brandon likes to quote the former great preacher that said, preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. In other words, your life should be such a transformed life that people know that there is something different about you. I received a call years ago, and I've mentioned it three or four times, but it was a great call. It was a man that I never knew, never been to our church. But he said, Pastor, I want to tell you that I just got saved. I just got saved. I gave my heart to the Lord. I got saved. I got changed. And he said, I'd like to tell you why. He said, do you know so-and-so? And he called a lady's name in this church. And I said, yes, I do. He said, you know, she's went through a terrible divorce. I said, yes, sir. He said, but I watched her through that divorce and said she was so full of joy and was able to be so strong. I was convinced that she had something I didn't have. And so I gave my heart to Jesus. It was a case that she was transformed. I don't care what you go through. There's a right and wrong way to go through it. And if you are a Christian, it will be a victorious way. If we're to solve the fatal problems of this present society, and they are fatal, people are dying unnecessarily by the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, perhaps millions, every year in America, simply because society does not have any answer for their problems. The question is an old question, but is there not a bomb in Gilead? Is there not hope in America? The hope is the church of the living God. But it cannot be just a church that is anemic and weak. We've got to become a church on fire. We've got to be a church full of power. We are free to solve these fatal problems of the present Christianity. We must embrace a radical Christianity. It's not that we're too much, it's that we're too little. We need to be opposed to a regular lifestyle, opposed to a religious lifestyle. Why do people choose these different lifestyles? It's because they're miserable where they are. And when they look to the church, they don't see anything drastically different. We've got to become a drastic people. Why do people adopt a drug lifestyle? It's because they are dropping out of society. But when they look to a church, they see a church that is so much like the world that they are not enticed. Why do people choose a violent lifestyle? It's because they cannot find anything that will change them drastically. Why do people choose a self-destructive, suicidal lifestyle? You understand that suicide is an epidemic in America. People killing themselves. I saw yesterday a pastor in Chicago. He shot his wife. Becky, he shot his wife. Does that give you any pause? The pastor this week shot his wife in Chicago, and then he shot himself. This guy is a natural born failure. His wife didn't die and he didn't die. They're both going to live, and now he's going to go to prison. He just couldn't win. There's a reason why. Because he's in a church that is totally void of the power of the living God. There is no satisfying alternative lifestyle in this world. And we are looking to the church. The church has to rise up for this occasion. We've come to the kingdom of God for such a time as this. The church should be providing a lifestyle that is so drastically different. It would be an enticement to anybody that is hungry or hurting. People that are hungry, people that are hurting, people that are contemplating suicide, people that are trying every kind of lifestyle to satisfy the gnawing in their soul. They need to know there is a drastic different people in this world that is different than anybody else, and it is the church of the living God. The church has become so compromised and anemic that the world does not see any difference between them and us. People are told they're Christians when they're not. The Apostle John addresses this situation. Have you ever wondered about the great number of people that come and go in a church? They just fall away. They just backslide. They quit after a short while. You ever wonder about that? John addresses that in 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. They went out from us. Did you ever wonder why they went out from us? He said they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Friend, what I'm talking about is an experience that is so real to you that you will never, ever go back to the world again. The Baptist Church teaches a doctrine called eternal security. And that means that if you were ever saved, you're always saved. There's nothing you can do to lose your salvation. I asked a lady in New Braunfels teaching an adult Bible class, a Baptist lady. I said, you believe that in every case? She said, every case. I said, what about Jim Jones that killed all the people in the jungle? I said, you know, at one time he was a strong Christian. And she said, well, he's in heaven right now then. I said, so he doesn't have to answer for other people? She said, no. He's saved. Nothing he can do about it. I said, well, I'll give you that. I just hope you don't put him over the drinks at the marriage supper of the Lamb. I just hope they don't do that. That's not true, folks. Paul or John said they went from us because they were not of us. I would agree with the Baptist on this account. That doctrine really sprang from this verse. And that is, if you really get saved, you won't ever leave. And that I believe. If you ever get what I was talking to Pastor Brandon. We were talking about a pastor that had just resigned his church this past week, and he just quit. He gave up. He didn't have a moral sin. He just got tired. He quit. And Pastor Brandon said, what do you think about that, Dad? I said, he doesn't have what I have. Tommy Barnett said, and it didn't mean anything to you, but it was everything to me. Because Tommy Barnett is one of my heroes. He's 80-some years of age, preaching around the world, built 3 mega churches in life. One in Iowa, one in Arizona, one in California. He's an amazing man. He's a soul winner. Just amazing. But Tommy stood right here in this pulpit. And he said, somebody said, Tommy, did you ever want to quit? And he said, every day of my life, I've wanted to quit. That didn't mean anything to you. It meant something to me. Because every one of us have those feelings when we're tired. Sometimes you want to quit just because you're so tired. You don't have nothing to do with spiritual. You just wore out. Sometimes you want to quit because people in the church have mistreated you and offended you. There's a dozen, there's 100 reasons why you want to quit. But those people that have the experience that I have don't quit. We don't go out from us because this is it. We have found the greatest lifestyle in the world. Jesus said to his disciples, I love this answer. They didn't always have the right answer when Jesus asked them a question. But Jesus said, will you leave me too? And they answered, the disciples answered, you know what they said? To whom would we go? Ladies and gentlemen, I get tired just like everybody else, but I ain't about to quit. Where would I go? Because I have found the ultimate alternative lifestyle, living in Christ Jesus. Did you ever get old? One time I got old, and then I got young again. One time I got old. Friend, if you haven't ever gotten old, you don't understand. That's a whole different thing.
Yes,
whole different ball game. It's like the Gatlin brothers said, it's a whole new game in California. Getting old is a whole new game, folks. But Jesus took care of that. He said, let not your heart be troubled. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not true, I would have told you so. Where I go, you go also. I don't care what age you are. A Holy Ghost-filled life is the ultimate alternative. There's absolutely nothing like it. Do you realize that there are about 2 million prisoners in America now, incarcerated? 2 million are incarcerated. You know what percent of that 2 million are atheists? Less than 1%. Less than 1% are atheists, people that are in prison. You know how many, what the percentage is of the people that are in prison that claim to be Christian? Almost 67% say, I'm Christian. I lived in a Christian home, and I went to a Christian church. Friend, that is the worst indictment that we can have against the church. What it means is that they did not find in church a satisfying lifestyle. And so they went out of the walls of the church and became criminals, looking for something that would satisfy. Ladies and gentlemen, we must do better. The church must be the church. We must rise up. We cannot compromise. Not only do we allow people to claim to be Christian that are not Christian, we assign them a false Christianity. That's all there is. I've told you 4 or 5 times about preaching in Louisiana in a beautiful new church. It wasn't real big. It seated about 3 or 4, but it's brand spanking new right across from the McDonald's. The pastor was a public school teacher. There weren't enough people there to support him full time, so he taught school. And they had about 50 people in that church. And I went there to hold a revival. It was just a wonderful group of 50 people. It was a beautiful building, a beautiful location. But it just wasn't what was supposed to be. But I was there to change that. That's what an evangelist does. And one night, a young man run through that door and sat down and watched me preach. That's what they're looking for. Michelle Frazier, that was my secretary for so many years, saw us on television. She said, I saw you on television, and the reason why I came, I wanted to see if you were for real. That's what the world is wanting to know. Are we for real, church? Are we full of God's Spirit? Are we transformed? Are we people that have changed? Have you been through your own hell and came out on the other side? Do you know what it is to be drug addicted and to be delivered? Do you know what it is to live a terrible lifestyle and sleep with somebody different every night or every week and to be changed and become a faithful partner to your spouse? Do you know what? Have you been through? They want to know, are you real? That's what Michelle said. That's the reason why she came and got saved, got filled with the Holy Spirit. And I saw her Facebook this week, and I put a little deal on there. She's not here physically, but I still remember her every day because she was such a transformed person. She had been raised in the bars. This is supposed to be a transforming place. And so this young man in Louisiana came in, and they had big oak altars in that church, about 3 of them. And when he was a handsome guy. He was a Cajun guy, and he was handsome. Had that little brogue. I wished I had it. Man, he had a great way of speaking. Just a good-looking guy. He was young and newly married and small children. And when I got through preaching, he came to that altar. And he was much a man. Those altars probably weighed 200 pounds. He picked one of those altars up and just waved it around. I mean, the whole altar. Slammed it back down. He was crying. And I went down to pray with him. And he said, don't tell me that this is all there is. I need something. That night, I led him to Christ. He got filled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I baptized him in water, and he kept saying, is that all there is? And I gave him the next step. His testimony was this. A few weeks before, he'd gone to a church. He went down to get saved, and the pastor put his arm around him and said, son, there is no getting saved. You're already saved. We're all God's creation, and we're all saved. That's the doctrine of inclusion. Everybody's saved and you just need to notify them. That is a heresy from hell. You have to be born again, Jesus said. And so he said, I want to be saved. And the pastor said, there is no getting saved. You were born saved. He said, I left that church saying I'll never go back to another church as long as I live. He said, I was across the road at the McDonald's. And when I came out, I could hear you people singing. And he said, I swore I'd never go to another church. But he said, I heard you singing. I said, I'm going to give it one more chance. And when he came in, I wasn't preaching you were already saved. I was preaching you need to get saved. You need to get born again. You need to get filled with God's Spirit. You need an alternative lifestyle to the one you are living. And I present to you an ultimate lifestyle, and that is in Christ we live. That's the style. That's the lifestyle that I'm talking about. You know what that guy did? He got so filled with God's Spirit. I stayed there for, I think, about 8 or 10 weeks. I don't remember how long now. But several weeks I was there. During that time, the church grew so much that the pastor turned in his resignation at the school. He wasn't going to teach. He was going to be a full-time pastor. That building was filled up. Not because of me, but this one young man that gave up, that said he would never go to church, was responsible for over 200 people getting saved during that revival. What happened? He changed drastically his lifestyle. Ladies and gentlemen, you must transform yourself by the power of the Holy Spirit. Do you understand how many people are depending on you? You know people I don't know. You are related to people that I'm not related to. And you are the only epistle that they will ever see or read. They're not going to pick up a Bible. They're not going to come to this church on their own. You are their epistle. They're looking at you. Friend, you must be drastically saved. Jesus said, the zeal of thy house has eaten me up. You got to get on fire for God. Friend, we are rushing toward the end time. We are rushing toward the final line. We've got to get our family saved. We've got to get on fire. We've got to win souls to Jesus Christ. There is a heaven. There is a hell. And they're depending on you. And so the church of the living God has got to change. I don't want to cast stones at denominations because we're all in this together. But the truth is, none of us are what we need to be. This world has no answer, has absolutely no answer. They are now suggesting things that are absurd and demonic to solve the ills of this world. When you start mutilating your little children for transgender reasons, you are demon-possessed. Friend, that's where we're living. And the reason why they've adopted such drastic lifestyles is because the church of the living God has failed them. Jesus said, after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, you shall have power. It was Christ's intention that every believer, that everyone that confessed him would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, believe on me as the scripture has said. The dumbest song I ever heard. I just heard it this week. I don't beg you. Probably Bill Gaither's got a new song, and it's called Jesus and John Wayne. And the whole point of the song is I can't measure up to Jesus, and I'm not John Wayne, but I'm someplace in between. That is the dumbest Christian song that's ever been written. They need to throw that in the garbage can and never sing it again. I don't know whether you know Bill Gaither or not, but he ain't no cowboy, I can tell you that. We're not supposed to be John Wayne. He said, believe on me as the scripture has said. To put John Wayne and Jesus in the same words is a sin by itself. You can't compare anybody to Jesus Christ. There's none like him. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the bright and morning star, the Creator, the Savior, the Baptizer. He has radically saved me. I am a fanatic. I promise you that. This world's not having much effect on me because I am fanatically addicted to the ministry of Jesus Christ. I believe he is the way and the only way. You don't get to heaven by writing big checks. You don't get to heaven because you're a good citizen, a good person, and you vote the right way. You are saved by one reason, and that is by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's a statement I've made for 40 years that always scares people. Some of the people that go to heaven will not be as good as some of the people that go to hell. Because Jesus said, your righteousness as filthy rags in my sight. You're not saved because you're good. You're saved because you're washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And it has made a transforming difference in your life. It has literally caused you to have a different lifestyle. And so Jesus said in Acts 1, after you receive the Holy Ghost, he said, you shall receive power. What's wrong with the church in America and worldwide? We are a powerless church because we're not filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't recognize the Holy Spirit in your life, you need to get down and pray until you do. Amen. The Holy Spirit will come in and change you so much that when you look in the mirror, you'll be shocked at the change that happened to you and say, I ain't what I used to be. Oh, when I think of Brother Percy Price, I think so much about his testimony, how he'd drink a quart of whiskey every day. But praise God, when he went to heaven a few months ago, he was a transformed, changed person. Ladies and gentlemen, we need the power of God. You can't save yourself. You can't have willpower. That's not it. It's Jesus' power. It's Holy Ghost power. There needs to be a lifestyle that is such a testimony that people are following you to church. Did you ever see anybody such on fire that people follow them to church? I've known people like that. And God wants us all to be that way. He tells us that we are to be filled with his power. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. This is Jesus Christ speaking. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. I'm going to tell you this, and you might not understand this, but in the society we're living, every day of your life, you meet somebody that's demon-possessed. You say, man, I don't know what's wrong with people. They're just abrasive. Abrasive, nothing. They're demon-possessed. We've got political leaders that are demon-possessed. You can tell by the decisions they make. We've got people we work with that are demon-possessed. And you say, well, I'm just going to invite them to church. A church invitation is not enough. Remember where I started out? It's the big word in the book of Acts, command. We need the power on a job, in a situation, in a secular situation, to be able to cast the devil out of somebody. Have you ever cast the devil? No, I'm just a believer. The Bible said the ministry of the saints, not the ministry of the preacher, the ministry of the saints. I've got news for you. If you are a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you're supposed to be a devil caster out. If you're a born-again, spirit-filled Christian, you're supposed to be a healer. You're supposed to be laying hands on the sick. So when I'm trying to get them to come to church, they'll come to church once you get them saved and filled and healed and delivered. They'll come to church. Ladies and gentlemen, they're not looking for a handshake and a hallelujah. They're looking for an alternative lifestyle. And if the church does not produce it, they'll find one somewhere. But the church must have that. We must have it in power. That's our lifestyle. A power, authority, and something else. Jesus said would be our lifestyle. He said, and a new commandment I give unto you. This is new because this is not norm to Christianity. He said, a new commandment I give, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men that you know that you are my disciples if you have love one to another. How many people know who Nikki Cruz is? Almost nobody. Nikki Cruz is one of the most phenomenal stories you'll ever hear. It happened in the 60s. Nikki Cruz was a bad man. He was killing people. He was a gang leader in New York City. And a little Pennsylvania pastor went to New York City and God told him, this will be your parish. He was a little country preacher. And he went into the gangs of New York City. And that little preacher stood before Nikki Cruz one day Nikki Cruz took out a knife and said, "Preacher, I'm going to cut you up in little pieces." And the preacher said, "And every little piece will say, 'I love you, Nikki.'" Nikki had never heard that in his life. And there on the streets in gangland of New York City, Nikki Cruz hit his knees and gave his life to God. And I know Nikki personally. He's an amazing, he's an older guy now, but he's still powerful. Still powerful. Hispanic man. And he got filled with the Holy Spirit and won tens of thousands of gang members to the Lord Jesus Christ. Simply because that preacher said, "You can kill me, but you can't keep me from loving you."